This is the SML
Tone Shot.
Okay, what's up, everybody? I'm small.
Medium.
I'm large, and this is the landmark episode 20 of the SML podcast.
Landmark.
Hey, I didn't think we'd go this long, but we have a very special guest today. Oh, poor Ashley. We have a very special guest on the show today via telephone call, Mr. Nick Chester of Harmonix. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing fantastic. I knew you guys could get to 20, at least. I knew 20 would be at least where you would get to.
I'm going to bet you didn't know we existed until last week when I emailed you.
That's not true. I did know you existed. I did not listen to all of the episodes, however.
I don't blame you. I really don't.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't listen either. I try not to listen.
People absolutely should. I have so many voices in my head already that listening to, like, other people yap in my ear, like, in earbuds, just does, it, like, freaks me out.
You just don't want to add to it. There's enough already there.
So for the people who don't know you, how about you give a quick little explanation about who you are, what you do, where you come from, who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Something okay, like that. Where do I start? Let's see. So I guess the reason why I'm here is that I work for Harmonix Music Systems in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where I am their publicist. And I work on their publishing team over here, but before that, I was editor-in-chief at Destructoid.com, so I did that for 4 or 5 years, maybe longer than that, so I've been doing gaming stuff for a long time. It doesn't seem like that long. Time sort of flies, but that's it. That's me. That's what I do.
So how did you get started at Destructoid? Might as well start there, since that's where I came in contact with you.
I mean, it's not a big, interesting story about how that happened. So Destructoid sort of was this weird little thing built from the ground up by Yanir Nero Gonzalez. He started a blog to basically get into E3 because he loved games.
That's like their best idea ever.
And at the time, I had sort of been following the rise of Destructoid. Just as sort of like a gamer and somebody who just sort of like trolls forums and, you know, hangs out on NeoGAF and, you know, reads all, you know, Kotaku and IGN and stuff like that. So I'd seen Destructoid sort of come up. And around that time, my fiance, my now wife, had said to me, like, you hate your job. Like, you don't really like what you do. You should probably find another one. Why don't you go write about video games or something? Because you're always on these stupid forums, like, yapping about video games all day. Like, why don't you go make some money doing this, you jerk?
You jerk? Help with the finances.
I looked at her like she was crazy because that's like, you know, especially, I don't know how many years ago it was. I was like, how would I even do that? Like, I can't just, like, barge into IGN and get a job.
But you could try. I don't think it would work too well.
No, that actually would not work at all. They have good security there.
He tried already.
I got kicked out twice. Yeah.
So at the time, I'd been reading Destructoid, and they were a small blog, and I figured, like, hey, maybe this small blog has room for a little old me. I wrote an email to the editor-in-chief, sort of, like, pitching my services at the time, and he got back to me. I guess he was, like, in a good mood, or he was drunk, or something.
We're both.
Yeah, sure, like, yeah. We could definitely use you. And it just sort of, like, spiraled from there. I ended up getting bigger roles at Destructoid. The site grew, and that was that. It's pretty crazy. I got lucky, basically. I mean, I worked my ass off. I don't want to discount, like, you know, all the blood, sweat, and tears that I put into it and all the garbage that my wife had to put up with while I did a job for very little money for many years before Destructoid started being profitable. But I definitely got lucky getting my foot in the door.
See, I've tried contacting the editor-in-chief of Destructoid as well, and all I ever do is get pictures of food back, so...
Yeah, food and corgis.
Food and corgis. The story of Dale North.
When I passed the baton to Dale, I should have known it was going to go that way. I should have known it was going to be like all Final Fantasy and Forza Motorsport all the time and Corgitoid.
Oh,
Corgitoid.
Corgitoid. Yeah. So what happened? Like, how did you eventually get in at Harmonix? I know for the longest time, you were the one who pretty much did all the Rock Band posts on Destructoid, and that's how we first started talking. By the way, it's been about 6 years, and we still haven't played Rock Band together, so we got to fix that.
Yeah, that's a long time. One of these days, we will absolutely do that. Destructoid, before I was writing about games, I've been a big fan of Harmonix's games for a really long time, like Amplitude and Frequency. Remember, like, Frequency was one of
Frequency was amazing.
PS2 games that I had owned.
Amplitude's my jam.
And Amplitude as well. I played the crap out of those games in college. And then sort of Guitar Hero came along, and I was a huge supporter of Guitar Hero. I remember at the time I was working for GameStop, and I had seen it at the manager's conference, and I remember I came back, and I was like, you guys who made Karaoke Revolution are doing this guitar game. It's the best thing I've ever seen. And people were like, you're crazy. No, never going to play that. And sure enough, like, it totally blew up. So I guess, when Harmonix had announced Rock Band, was, I guess, probably the first or second year I was writing about games, and I had a chance to play it at, I think, E3. There was an E3 that was in Santa Monica, where they had these little, like, behind-closed-doors rooms, like, right off the beach. It wasn't sort of the big Los Angeles Convention Center E3. I did a lot of networking to get myself in the EA booth to see Rock Band, and in the process of doing so, in order to get the coverage, I became friendly with a lot of people at MTV Games, and then a lot of people at Harmonix, like people like I totally like crazy respected. So just over the years, like doing the coverage, like I got to know these guys, and it didn't to backtrack, it didn't influence my coverage in any way. Like I actually loved most of the Rock Band games, except for was a huge fan of Green Day Rock Band. You could look at their Metacritic score that I actually did a review for. I didn't think it was the best. Don't tell anybody. I knew these guys over the years, and I've always been a fan of the studio and sort of like what they stand for and what they do. And I was really happy doing what I did at Destructoid as their chief. I mean, how could they not be? Basically, I worked from home, and I like hung out all the time and played video games and wrote about them and like met super creative people and interviewed them and
that job would
travel
suck.
Around the world. It's really hard to complain about that.
Writing about games, that sounds stupid.
The position for a publicist opened up at Harmonix, and my wife had wanted to move to Boston, and she was like, you should apply for this position. I was like, I have no publicist experience. Like, what are you saying? I should not do this thing. You are a crazy woman. But then, like, random people from Harmonix actually started reaching out to me. Like, hey, there's this position open. You should come work here. And I was like, that's weird.
That's odd.
Get out of my head.
I decided to sort of, like, take the chance to come in and, do the interviews. And there was a bunch of round of interviews, and I tricked them into hiring me. there's a misconception a lot of people have that everybody who writes about games wants to make games or be it a developer or a publisher. And I think that might be true for, like, a handful of people, but I wouldn't say it was true for me. I think I was happy doing what I was doing, and I didn't know where I wanted to go. Like, I didn't know. Like, this opportunity just seemed right for me because I liked Harmonix so much, and I liked the culture, and I liked their games. So I decided to kind of take a chance on it. It's been great.
That's awesome. I'm glad that, like, someone can actually get an in and what they actually want to do and accomplish. It's a good story to hear when, especially everybody around here is just like, man, I'm just going to work at, like, McDonald's for a while. And
oh, God, yeah.
Like, wait until I get on my feet, you know, man? And then 20 years later, like, hey, man, did you leave McDonald's yet? No. I'm still waiting for, like, that perfect time to go and
they might
something.
Offer me full time soon. I might take it.
Oh, God.
Basically.
No, I mean, it's super tough, and it's, like, really easy to get discouraged trying to get into this industry, whether it's journalism or it's with a developer or a publisher, because I think it's a highly sought-after job, especially for gamers, and it's, like, this weird balance of luck and just, like, and talent and working your ass off, and all that stuff sort of needs to come together for it to happen. If you totally pursue it, like, go out of your way and, like, bust your balls and sort of put yourself out there, like, there's absolutely a way to get in.
You know, it's funny, I just started working for a small startup game company called Sword Tech Games, and we're having trouble finding a lead programmer.
Yeah.
Like, which blows my mind. I would imagine, and it's, with Unity, Like, why isn't this easy? Why aren't there like a million programmers looking for a job? And apparently there's really not.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I hope it's not that people have gotten discouraged like, over the years and they're just like not pursuing it and pursuing other things.
Hopefully.
It seems like the kind of thing where there should be a ton of people who, you know, maybe they don't have the experience, like a lot of experience, but they have the skills and they just sort of like need to put them into action. Like, I don't know. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's definitely tough. Like, even like hiring here at Harmonix, it's like really hard to find the right people at the right time.
Well, it's also kind of tough, too, to make sure that, like, anybody that you're looking at or considering, you know, employing, you know, seeing if they have a decent amount of experience, it's hard to get that experience without, you know, kind of busting your knuckles nowadays. And not a lot of companies are willing to kind of, like, you know, give a lot of people that chance to try and prove themselves.
They give him that chance, though.
I know, and that's why I think it's really cool, because, I mean, like, I've been a huge fan of it, pretty much everything that Harmonix has ever done. Mainly just because my ties are a lot more to the music side of it. I'm a lot more of a musician slash gamer than a gamer slash musician. So that's why that, you know, everything that Harmonix has done has always been, you know.
Don't say everything. Let's not forget that they made an iToy game, and that's kind of hard to forgive.
Hey now. People.
Well, hold on. Now they're also making a Kinect game.
Yeah, but that's actually good.
The new Kinect looks kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, so.
We should probably talk about the big project you're working on now.
Yeah, first of all, what I want to know is, have you gotten to try this new Kinect?
No, we're actually not going to see it until they ship it to stores. Yes, I've seen it. Of course I've seen it.
Well, yeah, shit.
I don't know. I didn't know a publicist gets to fucking work with all the toys. I don't know.
I feel so bad. I feel like a jerk now. I shouldn't have said
no,
that.
No, you should have.
Oh, you should have.
He deserved every bit of that.
He really did.
So
you realize they're developing a game for it, right?
I have a chance to try it, and it is super awesome, and it's just like everything we sort of wanted out of the first Kinect. Sort of like watching our engineers behind the scenes work with it. I think, like, not to toot Harmonix's horn or anything, but I think we were actually pretty good with Kinect to begin with.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was sort of like finding like little tricks to make it either seem like it was working better than it was, or, you know...
I kind of noticed that.
Making it work better than you know, like, you know, it was, like, built to. But now, like, with the new Kinect, we have, like, more leeway to actually do the things that we need to or want to do, and, like, that's really exciting.
So for the people who might not know what we're talking about right now, you guys have recently announced Fantasia for the Xbox One, and is it also 360 as well later?
Yeah, it's actually, it'll ship simultaneously on the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One next year.
Next year. Is there better time frame, like spring, fall? Or is that still...
Next year.
Next year,
2014.
He did answer your question.
He did.
Next year does encompass spring and fall.
Yeah.
At some point.
Absolutely. You got it. All of those.
It's spring. It's spring, summer, fall, and winter of next year.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So it's going to release four times.
The hope is that you, regardless of when we release it, if we release it on January 1st, you would be playing it all year anyway.
Exactly.
So tell us about Fantasia.
Yeah, pump me up.
Okay. So I mean, you already know a little bit about Fantasia already. I'm sure you have been paying attention to it.
I have, yes, but.
Bunch of V3 Critical Awards. We're kind of a big deal, guys.
Kind of.
See, I've been following it, but I don't know if these other two assholes have.
I saw the E3 trailer during one of the conferences. I guess the Microsoft conference, but I didn't.
Okay, so I'll give you sort of like the spiel. So Fantasia Music Evolved is sort of it's a unique musical experience that is based on the ideas of the original Fantasia film, which was released in 1940 by Walt Disney and Company. The original Fantasia was what Walt Disney described as an adventure of color, sound, and motion. What it was a bunch of like little vignettes that were tied to music, and they all had sort of like their different themes and stuff like that. And it was all tied together with like a conductor sort of like introducing each of the vignettes. But they were sort of like these separate little stories that were told process that they used in the film and the audio that they used, which was actually sort of like, it predates surround sound. They had like dozens and dozens of speakers that they had to like build theaters just to sort of like show this film off. So it only went to like 12 theaters. Really ambitious, sort of almost like crazy experimental animation project. You know, Walt Disney had made a bunch of money on Snow White. They decided to sort of like, you know, try something like crazy. It was like this vision of Walt Disney to make these short films that he would eventually call Fantasia as a whole. And then over the years, the hope was for him to sort of like swap out those different vignettes with new vignettes, new animation and new music created by different artists and stuff like that. And that really never came to pass. The film wasn't super successful in the theaters. Laser disc and VHS later, and then later on Blu-ray and DVD, and the Fantasia 2000 came out, and that had some new shorts and stuff like that. But sort of like the vision of Walt Disney was to have this sort of ongoing Fantasia piece that would continue to evolve, never really happened. So like, fast forward to today, where Walt Disney had come to us and said like, hey, we have a project we want you guys to work on. Will you talk to us about it? They didn't tell us what it was. And, you know, at the time we were like, what is this going to be about? Is this going to be some kind of, like, Mickey Mouse Club dancing game? Like
Radio Disney Rock Band.
Exactly. Like, we'd shipped Rock Band 3 already. We had shipped, you know, our Dance Central games on Kinect. So we weren't sure exactly what they wanted. So we reluctantly take this meeting, and they're like, hey, we want to make a Fantasia game. And immediately, like, knowing what Fantasia was, which is, like, all about music and color and sound and, like, motion, we were, like, everybody got, like, super jazzed to do this project. So
it's a jazz game.
What they asked us to do not create a game that was basically, like, just, they didn't say, hey, remake of 1940s Fantasia as an interactive game. They said, like, get kind of wild with it. Like, take Walt's original vision and make something brand new with it. So that's sort of, like, where we started with Fantasia. And so, like, what does that mean? It's sort of, like, what we had to solve for a while. We did a lot of prototyping internally with a lot of, like, crazy motion and music stuff. And where we landed was a game where players become the Sorcerer's Apprentice, basically. They work under Yen Sid, who is, if you're familiar with the original film, Fantasia, there's that, like, Sorcerer's Apprentice short with Mickey Mouse and, you know, the dancing brooms and mm-hmm. all that stuff like that.
Yeah, if you don't know that imagery, you didn't have a childhood.
Yeah, basically.
Right. So you are the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You're not Mickey Mouse. You're the new apprentice. Like, you get invited into the world of Fantasia. And basically what you're tasked to do by Yen Sid is you're tasked to sort of bring these different realms of Fantasia to life using magic and music. And you do that using Kinect, a 3D cursor in these 3D environments where everything is musical and magical, and you're bringing these worlds to life. You're creating music using different elements of the world. For example, we have fish, like little like fish that you could like make come out of corals, and they all have different samples attached to them, and you could make your own melodies and stuff like that. That's one half of the game. The other half of the game is like the performance aspect, which is very much like Mickey conducting the heavens in the Sorcerer's Apprentice short, where he's sort of like, you know, he's like throwing up his arms and he's conducting, and like he's like, you know, the sea's like coming up and crashing and stuff like that, and the music is sort of like going along in time with what he's doing. That performance aspect gameplay is very evocative of that. You use either hands to hit cues on the screen, you could push in and drag and stuff like that. It's very similar to, I don't want to say it's very similar to, but like I guess the most analogous thing I could say, it's like sort of like if you've ever played Owendon or Elite Beat Agents for the 3DS, it's like that, but in 3D space with your hands. You can also use your feet if you want to, but you're supposed to be using your hands.
I would love an Elite Beat Agents Kinect.
We didn't just want a passive experience where you're just sort of like hitting cues. We wanted people to be able to actually create something and make something that's very unique to them, to the player. So basically what you do is you're like remixing songs on the fly. So for one example that we showed at E3 was you play the song Bohemian Rhapsody. It starts off, it sounds like Bohemian Rhapsody. You know what that sounds like. But as you play the song, you have different mix paths, and you could swap out the guitar for a classical violin part, or you could swap out the drums for crazy heavy metal, like a drum, crazy heavy metal drum track. And basically what you're doing is you're building these pieces of the song as you play it, mixing it together, and by the end of the song, is involved in Fantasia, and you're exploring all these different beautiful worlds with a lot of different surprises and stuff like that. So that's Fantasia, and that's not like the short. That's like the short version of what the game is, and it's a difficult game to talk about because I think it is probably one of the most unique experiences in gaming that I've played. It's up there with some like crazy, like if you ever played something like Proteus, which is sort of like this weird musical PC experience, it's like kind of up there with that, with more game elements. It's wild.
I can tell that it's very ambitious. I'm very excited about it. As far as like, you know, obviously you mentioned, you know, getting the licensing for Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff like that. As far as, you know, the different samples and different sound bites and everything like that that you're going to be using, you know, or that the user can use to make their own remix of some of the stuff, is it going to be, do you think you're going to run into a lot of the same issues in another aspect as far as, like, your publishing and everything like that and getting the rights to certain songs that you want to use for the game? Or is it going to be a lot of the kind of, like, have you kind of already figured out a lot of the stuff that you're already doing music-wise, like, you know, the songs that you're going to use for it? Or is there still going to be, like, DLC to get different songs to incorporate into the game? Like, what are you guys trying to do with that?
So, I mean, it's like, there's two parts to that question.
Yeah.
And there's two separate answers. So the first part...
I'm glad you were able to follow that question.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm still fucking confused about what you said.
Yeah, I think he kind of got where I was going with it, but...
I got where you're going with that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when we had the licensing song for Rock Band, like, there was, like, a couple components to that. And some of the key ones were, like, A, the artist has to sign off, and then B, we have to get the multi-track masters for that, right? So that's kind of what you're asking.
Right, right.
So, I mean, we're working with some people at Disney who are doing some great, like, great job licensing some of these tracks. And sort of explain, like, when we go to artists and we explain what this game is, and, like, they get excited about the idea of, like, being part of this new Fantasia experience. So it's never easy to sort of, like, negotiate these things. But people get what we're doing. So I can't think of any specific examples where anybody has, like, pushed back on it or, like, fought giving us the masters. But then the other half of that, well, actually, 1.1B
yeah.
Is that we have to actually go and create those other mixes, and we're doing that in-house, and we're doing that with, like, other, like, remixers as well. So, like, for example, Bohemian Rhapsody, like, our audio director, Eric Grotius, like, basically went and, like, rewrote Bohemian Rhapsody as an 80s metal track.
Jeez.
And then, so, like, you have each individual portion of it, like, to work with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, it has to be authored and created in the same time signature as the original track, but it's so, like, dramatically, like, different sounding that once you start, like, mixing all these pieces together, you create some pretty wild stuff. As for, like, DLC, we haven't really announced what we're going to be doing in terms of our DLC strategy, but, like, you
know, there will be DLC.
There will be DLC. Like, how we're going to deliver that is, we'll have more information about that soon.
Is that an exclusive reveal that Fantasia will have DLC?
Fantasia, 10 out of 10.
Everybody's asked about DLC, and all we're saying is we're not talking about it right now, but, you know, like, Harmonix has a long history of doing DLC, so, I mean, you could...
You gotta understand, we're in the games media, so we're just going to take everything you say and spin it off into wild stories.
Absolutely.
Wild stories and speculation.
I'm getting fired as
you speak. No.
So as far as, like, and this will be my last question as far as, like, the, you know, the music side and doing all your remixes and stuff like that. Like, are there certain genres that you kind of, like, don't want to touch as far as, like, you know, putting their kind of elements into
Fantasia
songs? Yeah, like...
Like, we're not going to see Ghost, like, show up in Fantasia.
Yeah, like, we're not going to see, like, genty progressive metal kind of stuff in there. Are we? We might, maybe? I don't know.
Why not?
Why
wouldn't we do that?
Confirmed.
I mean,
confirmed.
Ghost confirmed for Fantasia.
Yeah, like, why not? If it works and it sounds cool, like, I think it's not off the table. And, like, we've only announced 6 tracks so far, and we've actually shown people 5 tracks. about how you can remix them. So some examples, like I said, like this Bohemian Rhapsody, which you can mix with like almost like 80s hair metal, like 80s hair metal, speed metal, and classical. So that's one. We have Bruno Mars' Locked Out of Heaven, which you can make, you can remix with using elements of a ska version of that song.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Awesome.
Like electric song. And then we have Avicii's Levels, which is sort of like more of an EDM track. Like if you've ever been to a football or slash soccer game, mm-hmm. you've probably heard this song before. That's an EDM track. You sort of like stay along the lines of like electronic music with that, but we have like a weird ambient industrial mix in there, and then we have like a straight up like, chiptunes mix in there.
Damn,
oh,
nice.
So I wouldn't say any.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, we have like another, which is she's you know like an indie pop artist. Like we have a jazz version of her song "Settle Down" as part of one of the mixes. So like nothing is really off the table.
Well, okay, here's a question for you: can we get that one Taylor Swift song where we can, if I raise my right hand, it'll insert the goat scream over her?
I swear to you, and I'm not even kidding. I have thought of that before.
That would be fantastic.
Taylor Swift goat.
Taylor Swift goat confirmed for Fantasia.
I will say this. My favorite one, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but is the Bon Jovi "Living on a Prayer" goat edition.
Goat edition.
That's a pretty good
fantastic.
One.
Fantastic.
I think I have seen it. I think we fell down a goat hole here at Harmonix one day. All the goat videos.
Work comes to a screeching halt.
Yep,
pretty much.
Come see these goat videos.
I think we need some goat music in Rock Band now. What do you think? Fire up the Rock Band
Fire
DLC
up the Rock
machine.
Band DLC and
Let's
put
get
out some
goat,
goat
music into Rock
yeah,
Band.
Yeah, drop some goat MP3s in there and it'll spit out tracks.
RBN's out there. RBN's out there. You author whatever you need to with goats, man. We're gonna stop.
See, we could do the goats. I don't think we could get Taylor Swift to sign off on it, though.
No, we'll just go to her and be like, hey, we're going to try to put you in Rock Band. She'll be like, oh, that's great. We just won't tell her, well, we're going to replace your vocals with goat screaming. Then we get sued, but it'll be worth it.
worth it.
So yeah, I mean, you pretty much answered everything I need to know about that game. I pre-ordered an Xbox One Day One edition because I'm a whore. And,
me too.
I'm probably definitely going to pick up that game now after this because it sounds like it's a lot of really interesting music genres that I like merged together. And I've been a fan of Harmonix games since Frequency. I remember playing the crap out of that game in my mother's basement. It used to screw with my vision, though. It made it, after a song would end, it would look like the TV was moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have that problem with a lot of our games, including, like, Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Yeah, you look up at the wall.
And the wall's just pouring down.
But, so, I wanna ask, like, Rock Band questions, but I don't know, like, now, Huber here went to the, or Medium went to the PAX thing. Were you at that?
Yeah, I was in the audience.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't on the panel.
Are you allowed to talk about anything that was talked about in there, or is that a one-time deal?
I mean, I could talk about a little bit of it, but I mean, keep in mind, like, most of what we said at that panel is pretty much everything that we can say.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, well, so, he wasn't actually at it.
We did our best to sort of answer all of the questions that we could, or that we've been getting, or that we thought people were curious about, and I think we did a pretty good job. I mean, people seemed pretty psyched about that panel.
I thought it was amazing.
They were kind of like, I had no idea. Like, well, that's crazy. I thought it was like four steps, and we're like, nope.
New.
Yeah, I love Rock Band. I loved, like, my friend had imported... Huh? My friend had imported, like, some of those guitar games as they started coming out in, like, Japan. And then, Guitar Hero came out and Rock Band came out, and I loved Rock Band. I thought it did everything better. But what really blew me away is I'm a big fan of electronic music and a lot of those like a European synth pop bands and things like that. So when the keyboard came out, that blew my mind off. I was like, wait, I could start playing like my kind of music on this. But there was never like too much electronic stuff. Was there ever plans for any like more electronic-based music to come into, like, the Rock Band games ever? Was there ever talk about it?
So, well, I wasn't here when they originally shipped Rock Band 3, but I was here for a while we were still in the process of curating DLC and authoring DLC. So I have a little bit of insight as to sort of think they would be a great fit for Rock Band without that keyboard.
Yeah.
So now they sort of had the opportunity to do that, whether that be rock music or country music or whatever else have you. So, but I mean, you know, picking songs that are going to end up in the music store is kind of tough, because I mean you want to pick great songs, but you also want to pick songs that people are going to buy.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always necessarily jive with what, you know, your favorite music is, or even my favorite music is, and you know it's really hard to sort of walk that line. And I think, you know, I think what we probably found was that more people were clamoring for rock music versus electronic music. So, you know, whereas it would have been, I think it probably would have been great to get more of that stuff in there. It just never really panned out. Probably for that reason.
Yeah, I would imagine it's from a sales point thing. Because, I mean, the music I listen to is huge in other countries, but, you know,
yeah.
In America, which is, you know, the primary consumer base for it, it's, like, not really there. I'd heard that there was scrapped plans for, like, a Japanese version of Rock Band.
They actually went over that at the panel.
Yeah. You told me about that.
We talked a little bit about that, and, it was, like, a fully localized version of Rock Band, and it was going to have Japanese music and Japanese artists in it. I mean, that was like Rock Band 1, Rock Band 2 era stuff, so we didn't have the keyboard at the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, had that shipped and had that been successful and how we progressed to Rock Band 3, I think you could probably imagine how that could have went.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
I'm sad it never happened. I thought that would have been great.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that go to, you know, these anime conventions and things like that, and it would have been, I mean, that would have been huge for a certain set of people in the States, the Japanese one. People would have, like, lost their minds over it for a little while. I don't know how long it would have lasted, but if a game like that came out, holy shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, there was actually, like, I kind of feel bummed that, like, I know your Small's schedule when we were at PAX was really, really busy. I specifically went to PAX for that panel.
Yeah.
And
I sat at home and cried that I couldn't be there.
But I specifically went for that panel, and I tell you what, man, like, you know, I didn't really explain a lot of it on previous episodes of the podcast, mainly just because if you were there and you were at it, or if you saw any of the coverage of it afterwards, it was one of those kind of things where it was just like, it was kind of for the people that were just really, really big fans of it. It wasn't necessarily for the people that were just like, oh, here's another thing that I should go and check out.
Which is why I was at home crying that I couldn't be there.
Well, you know, this is something I've noticed about Rock Band, too, that's different from, like, the Guitar Hero franchises. Rock Band really has a community around it. Whereas Guitar Hero was like the Call of Duty of music stuff, and Rock Band was more like the legit version.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you noticed that with working at Harmonix and dealing with Rock Band stuff?
So, you know, look, one thing I'm sure, I can't really speak to sort of what Activision did with their Guitar Hero community, because I honestly have no idea. But, like, you know, the community team here at Harmonix is, like, I mean, we really, like, get our hands dirty in the community. Like, we like interacting with people. We like engaging with them. We like giving people stuff. We like...
What are you going to give me?
We're excited about what we do here, and I think I hope that shows. You know, like I'm sure, like, you know, I think like all hardcore fans of Rock Band probably know who Aaron HMX Henry is, or John Drake is, or Mr. Pope, and I don't know if you can say that for a lot of other community teams on almost any game, and I think it's because we're sort of like I don't know, we're like kind of like weird grassroots down and dirty kind of like DIY. Over here, like, despite the fact that Rock Band is a huge AAA franchise, we still treat it sort of like our own little baby that we have to sort of like go out and, like, you know, rep on our own. You know, we man our own booths, we man our own stations. We even do the same thing with Dance Central, and I think you see that a lot with Dance Central fans as well. And while the community for Dance Central isn't as big as Rock Band, like, those people, they know Annette, they know Jessa, they know John, like, they watch our live streams, and I think it's pretty cool. It's really cool to be a part of this team, and I hope that everybody here is kind of approachable and, like, everybody knows who we are, because, like, we want to be those people. We want to be approachable. We want to talk.
I can absolutely agree with that, like 100%. Because after that panel, I came up, I literally walked right up to the front of the panel. They were all, like, everybody that was on that panel was standing in front of the kind of booth that they were sitting at, the table that they were sitting at. And they were literally just there, like, just talking to everybody, shaking everybody's hand, taking pictures with everybody. And it wasn't just like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, we're done with our panel, piss off. It was like, you know, you were able to go up there. I had a half an hour conversation with, I can't remember his name. But I sat and talked with him for quite some time, and I explained to him, you know, what Rock Band kind of did for my musical career, because, you know, there was a project that, there was a band that I was in, and we got featured, the three of our songs got featured on Rock Band. And, you know, after that, it was just like, it added a legitimacy to my musical career. I could go to people and be like, look, you know, my band stuff is on fucking Rock Band. Yeah. And they would just be like, okay, yeah, that's awesome. And that's the thing, too. I think it's really cool. It's got to be a good feeling for you that, you know, you can go to someone and just be like, yeah, you know, I worked on Rock Band. And they could just be like, holy shit. Like, that's awesome.
So you're up in Boston. Yeah. Is that where the Harmonix is located?
Yeah, we're located in Cambridge.
Oh, okay.
Why haven't Cambridge we gone there before?
Like, right. Yes. May as well say Boston.
So I'm going to be in Boston soon. Is there any chance I could stop by Harmonix and, like, check it out?
What do you mean by soon?
My father works out of Boston. He lives in Auburn. And I was going to be going up to. I'm actually, I just got hired at this game studio, and I'm sort of on the interim between, like, we're building our prototype right now, and I just left my other job so I could focus on that. And I've got like a month and a half open, so I'm going to go visit family and things like that. So probably sometime next month, I was going to come up to Boston for about a week.
Well, you let me know. Send me an email. We'll figure that out. I will let you know that we are like not. Like, this, like, July and August are crazy for us because we're doing a lot of Fantasia stuff, a lot of promotion. So I will be seeing my family a lot, which means I won't be in the studio. I would love to show you Fantasia because explaining it is only, like, sort of, like, half the battle.
Yeah, I would like to see it and then be able to, like, tell more people about it, you know? Because I really feel like the Xbox has a bad rap right now. And
which is a shame,
and the trend of them always having like a something evolved game as a launch title on each system, like this is a really big deal for the Xbox. This game is a really big deal, and I feel like a lot of people are writing it off, and I wish I could see it and get a feel for it so I could articulate it to more people, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want more opportunities to be able to show the game to people, whether it be, you know, bringing people into the studio and showing to them if you know, if timing and just out for that, or going out to you know consumer shows and showing it to people, because I really feel like it's the kind of game you need to sort of see and play for yourself before it really clicks. And my hope is to get you know show people the game and sort of get them psyched about it and have them tell a friend who will tell a friend who will tell a friend, because
maybe later this summer
like
we
we're not making another Rock Band game, which would be like. I don't want to say it would be an easy sell, but it would be like, it's like, did you like Rock Band? It's like, uh-huh. It's like, well, it's like that with new stuff. Like,
yeah, I'm glad. I'm sad and glad that you're not doing another.
We're creating a weird new musical experience that's nothing like you've ever played before. Please give us your money, please, maybe. and that's tough. And I think that's something really, really cool. So the more people who can see it and play it, the better.
How much time do you have left?
He's probably got to bounce, like,
I have about 10 minutes.
Okay, let's do the name thing.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about this.
If you haven't known, Nick, over the past 10 episodes, we have been discussing and harassing our listener to send in suggestions for what they think the SML in the SML podcast could stand for. We had a whole bunch of different entries, and we've narrowed them down. We actually picked our winner earlier, which we'll reveal later. But we're going to turn to you to pick our runner-up winner. And there are six choices for you to decide who gets the second-place prize. Those choices are...
Brace yourself.
Some of these are awful.
We have some massive losers. Super okay. Mega Lame.
Wait, say the second one again?
Super Mega Lame.
Okay.
Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
You gotta wait for a pause after that one.
We have Smelt My Long Sword, Saddle My Loins, and Sexual Molten Lava. So out of those,
it's tough.
I know.
It is up to you, Mr. Nick Chester, to decide our runner-up winner.
So, okay, I was trying to write them down as you were saying them. So you might have to repeat some of them. So I think the first one was, repeat the first two.
The first one was Super Massive Losers, and the second one was Super Mega Lame.
Okay, so I don't really like those because, come on, that's negative. Super Massive. I do like the Scandinavian Mastodon one.
Because, Mastodon?
Mastodon lingerie.
Scandinavian?
Scandinavia.
Metal.
So I'm going to go with that one, but I don't like the negative ones. I think people are negative Nancys, and I don't appreciate
them. We as a group are negative Nancys.
That's just how it works.
So when you listen to the winner later...
Maybe, but you guys aren't losers or lame.
That is purely debatable.
Yeah, we're fairly lame. But okay, so you heard
speak
it from
for yourselves, guys.
From Nick Chester, our runner-up winner is Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie Podcast. Oh,
all right, bud, we will let you go. I will shoot you off an email soon, and we can talk more there.
Oh, hold on. I never got my Rock Band question.
Yeah, hold on. Well, he's got one last bombshell.
I have one thing.
Yes.
Before you ask me this question, since we're still on the Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
Yeah.
Your next contest should be, somebody needs to draw that.
Oh, it's
that's
on.
That's true.
Because I have vision in my head of what that is, and it is.
It is awful. Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who's a professional lingerie designer, too. I should get her in on this.
Okay, well, if that's the contest you want next...
I guess it's...
Do you think maybe you might have some harmonics trinkets to offer up to the winner?
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
I don't want to say what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't like telling people the prizes anyway, because then, you know...
Surprise.
Exactly. Yes.
So when would you like... How long would you like people to enter that contest? Say episode 25?
Yeah.
Okay. 25.
So, for the next 5 episodes, we are going to take entries to draw Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
Wow.
To win...
I'm so glad it's not my email.
I want the lingerie to be on the Mastodon.
And you will win an undisclosed prize.
I want the lingerie. I want it to be on a Scandinavian Mastodon.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, so you can't just draw just the lingerie. You got to get the whole
out. You got to have the Mastodon wearing it.
All right, Joe, what was your question?
So I've got to know, Rock Band DLC has been over for a few months now. There has been plenty of talk that Rock Band isn't necessarily completely dead, that it's always something that you guys could come back to eventually. Have there been any talks or any plans, you know, given that Rocksmith has a new game coming out? Was it Band Fuse has that game coming out? It
Those seems like matter, though.
Well, it seems like the music genre is starting to pick up a little bit again.
No, it's not that I think that what they're doing is what he said that is the safe route that they didn't want to take.
Yeah.
That they could put out another thing and be like, hey, look, here's another thing.
But it doesn't need to be a new game. I'm curious to know if DLC... can possibly start up again sometime sooner rather than later.
We don't have any plans right now to release any further DLC, but it's not off of the table.
Has it been talked about at all?
Well, they don't have.
Oh, they've been talking about Fantasia,
wait,
man.
Don't push the man. Don't push the man. He answered the question. Read into it. Put your spin on it.
Fuck you guys. I'm the Rock Band fan here. I got to know this.
Xbox 360 Rock Band DLC 2015.
here. I have
your headline.
There's your headline.
There's your headline.
I mean, so look. To be honest with you, we're still supporting the Rock Band community internally. I came out of a Rock Band meeting today. that wasn't about a new Rock Band game, that wasn't about new Rock Band DLC, but, you know, Rock Band is still a franchise that we hold close to our hearts, and as we have said, as Alex Proplis has said, like, it is a thing that we believe will return when the time is right. But we're currently working on, obviously, you know, Fantasia's our big push. We are working on other titles internally. We are working on new, like, crazy IP stuff. We're kind of focused on that stuff right now. You know, like, Fantasia was only one of the new things that we sort of hinted at that we were working on. But we have a lot of other stuff, like, in the pipeline.
Ooh.
So, like, I will say that, like, most of the focus is on that and making that, like, the best that it can be. But we don't want to say never to new Rock Band DLC because, you know, anything can happen.
Can I make a request for Chevelle Pack 02 in March 2014? Just in time for my birthday?
I will form a Chevelle tribute band and play for your birthday. How about that?
Sounds good. Right, one last suggestion for Fantasia.
He does not want to get fired though. Do we have time?
This is just a suggestion, not even a question. I think Harmonix needs to finally dip their toes in the limited edition game package deal and release a Fantasia limited edition that comes with the wizard hat from Fantasia.
Okay.
I think that should happen. That'd be cool. I'd buy
that's
it.
That's a good idea.
I like the hat.
I think you're aiming low though. Just the wizard hat
and the robe. Get it.
No, I want an army of broomsticks, dude.
Okay. Sorcerer's Apprentice, right? I want Nicolas Cage Sorcerer's Apprentice movie DLC.
Nicolas Cage. Oh my god.
Right.
On that note.
I'm putting it all in the suggestion box.
Nick, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy, busy day to talk to us assholes and discuss Fantasia.
We already decided you guys aren't losers or lame.
No, we're just assholes.
Don't be negative.
I'm proud of that.
I have to say that when Joe told me that you were going to be a guest on the show, I'm like, wait, we have a legitimate guest? Like,
yeah.
We have a guest.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm a guest.
Tell Aaron he's next.
Okay.
Aaron Carter?
Yes, Aaron Carter
is next.
Aaron's been here the whole time.
All right, man. Yeah, thank you very much. Get to your meeting. Don't get fired, please.
We're going to visit you later this summer and play Fantasia.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Stay in
touch. Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Thanks again, Nick.
Bye-bye. We got so many exclusives.
Rock Band DLC confirmed coming back 2015.
Well, no, that was so funny when he's like, when I'm like, oh, so there's... We asked him about DLC. He's like, well, the DLC, you know... We're not ready to talk about yet. I'm like, so there is DLC.
He's like, well, yeah, there's DLC. We've been telling everyone that we can't comment on it. He commented to us that there is DLC. That's a legit reveal.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Dude, honestly.
Fuck you. That's legit.
I can't wait for our 10 out of 10 Fantasia review to happen. And then everybody's going to be like, oh, well, you guys have friends at Harmonix, so that's why you reviewed a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of want to like touch upon the last comment that he made. I know
the last of us? You were.
I want to comment on that too. Actually, the last question that Large had. I understand that your bond is
stronger than your words.
Is strong with Rock Band, but I tell you what, man, I'm very, very, very intrigued about what Harmonix is going to do for new IPs. Because I tell you what, man, like, to me, I love my music games. Love them.
Harmonix first-person shooter, confirmed.
So, honestly, I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with a new IP. I mean, obviously, Fantasia sounds very, very interesting. Yeah. I love Elite Beat Agents on my DS. So, you know, he said it's really the only thing that he can kind of, like, gameplay wise kind of compare it to. But we'll get a hands on and we'll fucking, you know, we'll check it out and maybe
I don't know if like when you go up it'd be a good time because he's saying they're stupid busy. I was thinking maybe in August sometime.
If I can sneak in, this is twofold because I really want to play that game, but I also actually want to try to see if he could get me an opportunity to talk to a project manager there. since that's what I'm doing at Sword Tech, I'd love just to talk to somebody who's been doing project management for a little while.
Yeah.
And just kind of ask them a few questions just to, you know, get some ideas for working at Sword Tech and stuff like that. I think it would be interesting to talk to some people who've been in, you know, developed AAA titles and things like that.
Word bird.
With Fantasia, when it was first announced, like, I was bummed. When it was like, Harmonix has a new game coming out. Oh, really? I'm excited. It's Fantasia. Huh, that's interesting. For Kinect. Oh, really?
Yeah, but you know what, man? I understand where they're coming from with it because, you know, think of it from a business module, okay? When they did all of the Rock Band stuff and the Guitar Hero stuff, what is the biggest downfall to that game? It's the hardware. Because you constantly have to, like, you know, if you're going to get, at least at the beginning, if you're going to get a newer version of the game, it's like, okay, you know, you have to make sure that you have a guitar. If the guitar is a shitty guitar, you have to make sure that you get a better guitar. You know, or they come out with a new peripheral for a different instrument. It's like you've got all these plastic instruments around you, and it's like, you know, when they're deciding, okay, we're going to work on something with the Xbox One, the Xbox One is required to have a Kinect, and you can do something, you know, that you want to do involving the Kinect as opposed to having other peripherals, why not capitalize on it instead of having to worry about,
not even where my awe was coming from. It was coming from the fact that as good as Harmonix is, I'm a fat asshole who doesn't want to dance. So, like, the Dance Central games I could never get into because no one wants to see this jiggle.
Hold on a sec. Just in. Chris Piccolotti scored 542,000 points in Tetris Blitz and posted the comment, "Do you even lift?" Well, no, but I was disappointed when I saw the announcement, just because I was like, oh, it's a Kinect game. But then I started, like, I was watching the press conference for it, and I'm like, I saw how the interface looked, or how at least they were visualizing it with the people dancing for the advertisement. And I'm like, oh, you know what that reminds me of? Fucking Samba de Amigo. Where you have, you know, you've got two sensors in your hands,
yeah.
And you're, like, because the way I remember it is it looked like, not Samba, what Fantasia looked like, is there's, like, a circle, and where you put your hands outside of the circle is where things are that you're trying to get to, so, like, you're conducting, you know what I mean? But it made me think of Samba de Amigo, where I got the two maracas, and it's like, I gotta put one hand here, put a hand up here. It's kind of like Elite Beat Agents kind of has that similar thing. And I'm like, man, I've been waiting for a game like that forever, because Samba de Amigo, the Dreamcast version, the Wii one sucked, because the sensor didn't work. But Samba de Amigo on the Dreamcast was fucking amazing. That game is glorious. I would pay lots of money to go and get the classic maracas for that and play that again.
I used to have that, too.
It's so fun. And that's what I'm thinking Fantasia is going to play like.
I just got to say, you guys are the worst. Like, when I have a thought that I try to get out, you just both jump in and change the subject right away.
That's how we roll.
Yep.
You guys tag team. That's what we're good at. You guys fucking tag team.
Boom!
I just wanted to say, because I'm going to cut you off from cutting me off, that I was disappointed until Nick posted on my Facebook post that it was a lot like Elite Beat Agents, and to not write it off until I see more about it.
Yeah.
And right from there, he was right. I was writing it off before I got to see it. Yep. And the more I see of it, the more excited I am for it.
See, and that's what I'm kind of worried about, too, because I'm very worried that other people are just going to be like, oh, well, it's
Dance Central Fantasia.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, all right, well, fuck this. But, you know, if I'm hoping that they, whatever they do marketing-wise, whatever they do as far as, like, you know, I would think that this would be the kind of thing that you really want to, like, try and push to have, like, in a Best Buy so that they have a live, demo of it so people can actually try it out. Because I can already tell with the way that he's been describing it and the way that it's been pushed already, it's going to be very difficult to explain to most people that aren't aware of Samba de Amigo or Elite Beat Agents or stuff like that. They won't be able to make that connection, so they don't know what to expect out of it.
Yeah.
So,
I think another thing is you have to want to play the game. Like,
Watching
footage from E3, you could tell who wants to play it and who's excited for it. And the people
are just going to be like,
because the people just stand there waving their arm. They're like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then you see people who are really getting into it. Like, they think they are fucking Mickey Mouse waving their arms around like, I'm a goddamn sorcerer.
Dude, I tell you
and
what, man.
That, those people have me more excited for the game.
Because even just
Nicolas
with
Cage
Rock Band.
Nicolas Cage DLC confirmed for Fantasia.
Even just for Rock Band, like when we went to PAX, they had a setup, you know, with, you know, they had an Xbox on with all the instruments, and they had a stage set up so people can go up and play these songs in front of a crowd. And I tell you what, man, like, everybody else going up there, I mean, obviously they're going up there playing it, they're having fun, you know, they're playing it just as playing a game. You take someone like myself and I go up there.
You're a performer.
I'm a performer.
An audience.
I have an audience. So as soon as I get up there and I start, you know, going fucking nuts, and everybody started getting into it, and as soon as I got off of that stage with the other people that were playing with me, the line quadrupled.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is just that one person to be really into it, and you actually
fun.
See, and you can see the potential that of fun that you can get out of the game. That's
joy,
what people need to understand.
Joy, like, is infectious,
exactly.
Like herpes.
So
absolutely.
The
which I still haven't found if there's a video of that online.
Of
yet.
Herpes?
No, of me performing at PAX, because I saw everybody with.
This is definitely one of the interesting things about the Xbox One, too, is the fact that they're forcing the Kinect upon you. And I really think that the main reason why they're doing this is because the tech is so impressive this time around.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the original Kinect is very impressive. It just didn't work as well as it should have.
Nowhere near
it. Nowhere near what it should have. So I think that it's so spot on this time that they're like, if we get this in people's hands and we let them use it, they're gonna be wowed by it. They're really gonna be into it. So I think that right now everybody's like, oh, fuck the Kinect. You know, I don't want to fucking Kinect. I don't want to pay an extra $100 for a Kinect. But they're going to get it, and they're literally, like, they're gonna walk home one day, and they're going to, like, walk into the living room and be like, Xbox on? And it's going to turn on, and they're going to be like, wow, that's kind of cool. You know, and they're going to start using it, and it's going to become natural.
Yeah.
And then they're going to start digging it, like, wow, you know, this is kind of interesting. And then there's going to come a moment where they might see this Fantasia game, you know, they might see a commercial for it, and be like, you know, that looks kind of fun. I know this works now.
Yeah.
I'll go out and buy that, you know?
It'll just be a $50 or $60 game instead of $150.
Yeah, because the investment is already gone.
Because you don't need
gone.
To buy
yeah.
that Kinect.
I think that it's a really good strategy for them to do that, even though it's alienating a lot of people. And then that's the other thing, too. Like, somebody's going to come over my house, and I'm going to be like, Xbox on, Price is Right, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, never mind Game of Thrones. And they're going to, you know, people are going to be like, wow, that's really fucking cool. I'd be like, can you do that on your PlayStation? They're going to go, no. I'd be like, well, why not? They're like, no. And I
like all the people who bitch about the Kinect being included, and they're happy that the Move isn't included with a PS4, which, by the way, the people who bitch about the difference, you don't get a Move or an iToy with your PS4.
Yeah, and once
the PS4 controller has the little Move light on it that...
Here's something weird about that controller, too. Somebody put a picture, I think it might have been IGN, of the new Xbox controller next to the new PS4 controller.
Mm-hmm.
The PS4 controller is bigger.
Bigger. Well, it's wider.
Yeah.
It is. It's wider.
Yeah, it's wider, but, like, that blew my mind. I'm like, wow, it's never been that fucking...
No, it's never been that
well,
way.
Well, it's
because
there's a touchpad there now. They need...
What
which
did
I
tell
think
you?
The touchpad is, like...
What did I tell you? And you guys were like, "No, there's it looks okay."
No,
when it got revealed, I said all they did was they took a regular controller, a regular PlayStation controller, they stretched it, and then they just put the fucking touchpad right in the middle.
Well, no, they changed the ergonomics of it, which I want to get my hands on.
I understand it's sculpted differently, but I'm saying just the blueprints of it.
Yeah, we've known that.
See,
well,
now
you guys
were
bitching at me.
I keep thinking that I really like the touchpad on the PS4 controller. I think it's a really intuitive idea. Because that's a really easy thing to, like, implement in a lot of games and have it be worthwhile. It's not like motion controls where it's really janky. I mean, you could have all sorts of things. Like, you want to throw a grenade, you just go, you know?
If they were going to go with some kind of touch-sensitive pad on it, I wish they would have just gone the Wii U route and put a fucking screen on it. It's like the touchpad on the back of the Vita is the stupidest thing on
the
planet.
Dumbest thing
I
ever.
Hate that goddamn thing.
I don't think so. Did you play Metal Gear with it?
Just so you could slice someone's neck with it?
Yeah, because that's how some of the moves work and stuff like that. Like, you can tap to grab people, and then you can take your finger and go like this and slice their neck. That's fucking awesome. But, I mean, the problem is it's not stupid. It's just it's not being implemented well.
Maybe if someone would implement it well, that's the fundamental problem
with the friggin' Vita in the first place. Is here's this here and Sony in general. Here's this great hardware. We're never gonna fucking support it. Too bad. And that's why I'm really excited about Microsoft, and I want to support them, because it's like, here's a good piece of hardware. It's not the best piece of hardware on the market this generation.
It shows that they have faith in their product.
Yeah, and they already came out and said, we're spending a shit ton of money on making sure that great games are being developed for this console. Yeah. Whereas Sony's like, yeah, there's going to be games. There's going to be the same games, again. You know, here's some Infamous.
Now, I got to say, more details came out about, what was it? The Order 1880, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, I was legitimately curious about that game. I wanted to find out more. They revealed more. It's a third-person shooter.
Yeah, it's a third-person shooter on Vita, isn't it?
No, PS4.
Oh, it is PS4, okay.
But that killed a lot of my excitement. It's just a gritty third-person shooter.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the game I'm most excited for this coming generation is definitely Titanfall. The video for Titanfall...
PC!
Yeah, it's going to be on PC. I mean, that's the funny thing is I'm getting an Xbox and there's no games coming out that are Xbox exclusives other than Quantum Break that make me go, I need to have an Xbox. I want to support it. I want to check out the new controller. Yeah, Fantasia. That'll probably be my launch title then, is Fantasia.
But it's going to be on 360.
2014.
Well, it'll probably be my launch title then. Nick, hook me up. Launch title. I'll be part of your beta crew. I'll see how the Kinect handles nakedness, and I'll also put, I'll sit on medium shoulders, and we'll see if it can handle four arms at once. It'll look like one person to the Kinect, but it'll have four arms.
They'll go back to back and use their dicks Mecha as their arms.
Somebody needs to make a fucking. A Venture Brothers Kinect game and make it so that you can do Mecha Shiva and you got to smack someone's shoulders.
I don't know if like, that would be amazing. I don't know if this is real or not, but someone said that apparently there's going to be an Adventure Time Wii U game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for that, actually.
Is it?
I think it's for Wii U. I think it's Wii U, 3DS. I won't even say it's possibly Xbox and PlayStation as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely all aboard the Xbox One hype train, and then I'll probably get a PS4 as well. Depending, it really depends on the games. There's nothing on PS4 that made me go, I need a PS4. No. There's a few things on the Xbox that I'm like, I will want to play with my friends who will get an
say,
Xbox.
I will say, I saw a longer demo of, what is it, Knack for the PS4 on Jimmy Fallon. They showed it on there. And seeing it a longer demo live, which, you know, they didn't do shit with during Sony's E3 conference, it looked a lot better than my first impressions. I thought it looked pretty cool.
Word life. So, well, all right, well...
Tim's disappearing.
Well, hold on. This is a perfect time, actually. So, aren't we going to do this podcast a little differently this time? We're going to do, like, a slight break, give your music now, and then...
No, because we were going to record half of it, and then do the break, and then record the interview with Nick. But because Tim fucked around at GameStop until 2:30...
Well, we could just do the half and half and just do it backwards. We have the interview first, and then...
Well, we're already talking, like...
But now
he's gone. Where would the break be?
Right now.
And there's not much else that...
We could do reader... It could be a long podcast since it's our 20th.
Well, it's already going to be a long podcast.
No, that's one standard episode. If you make it two episodes for one, give the people what they want, Joe. Give them two for one. It's a landmark show.
Yeah, it's going to be like a double length.
Yeah. Double length. Triple length.
So
quadruple length. I gotta pee, that's why, Joe.
Well, then go pee.
Well, then there's gonna be so much dead air.
Then they're gonna listen to dead air.
No, we don't want to do that.
Why don't you just carry the mic into the bathroom?
They don't want to hear that.
Record you pissing.
They don't want to hear that.
Okay.
You said that's what I had to do.
Are you gonna go poopies?
I just have to piss, actually. I'm not gonna lie.
So,
Give him some songs. Give them some songs, we'll come back, we'll do some reader mail, and then we'll give you the big announcement of the winner of the contest. I'm telling you, man.
Who do you want to hear?
Who do I want to hear?
Yeah.
Ooh. Nobody ever asks me.
I want to hear about what?
Hey, Tim's back.
No! I'm telling you, man, we do the break. Let's do the break.
No, I have to get rolling very soon, so.
We have so much else to fucking talk about, too.
Oh, like what?
Like, we have to announce the winner.
Okay, yeah, the winner is Huber.
The winner is I have to go pee, I'll be right back. Since we're not doing the break.
He wanted to talk about Last of Us.
Yeah, I do.
We have some I'll read your mail.
I have to leave my house at 4:30.
4:30. Jesus, why?
I have a company call that I have to do that's probably going to last about an hour, and then I have a haircut at 6.
God, you and your fucking haircuts.
Gee, I bet you miss having hair on your head.
I do. So kiss my ass.
Which part of it? It might take me a few minutes to get to the other side of it if you
take
want
to. Take your time, buddy. Take your time.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap.
Take your time.
Take time with a wounded hand.
So, Last of Us, have you played?
Not yet. I'm probably I'm getting a copy this week and I'm going to blow through it.
I've been trying to blow through it and I just can't because it is such a tense game. Like, I get through a chapter of it and I'm like, I need to stop. I need to.
That's how Dead Space was for me. The original Dead Space, I could not play that game for in long bursts because it would just be like.
Like, I get through a tough section with a lot of the clickers, and I'm just like, oh my god, I need to just.
Yeah, I don't think that game will do that to me. I feel like the emotional experience everybody's getting from this game, I'm gonna be like, nah.
What's going on? All right, I missed.
Such is life. Such is life.
What happened? What happened? Oh yeah, dude. Did you finish it? No.
Yeah, I'm sad. Ellie died.
No.
No. Yeah. No, I didn't play it yet.
No?
I have another chance.
All right, so I guess I'm the only person that knows what happens.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to have a chance to play it till later in the week.
This ties into Pappy's reader question for the week. And with some of his SML suggestions, he said that he had a question as well. What did you think, or what do you think the last great game will be for this generation? Will it be a 360 or PS3 game, or do you think The Last of Us was that last great game?
Well, to answer that, what else is coming out?
Grand Theft Auto.
So that's it?
Which has, well, there's other games, but I mean, like, massive titles. I think if it's not going to be Grand Theft Auto 5 is the last great game of this generation.
Now, as far as great games are concerned, are you talking, like, AAA titles?
Like,
or just
Game of the Year contenders?
See, I keep thinking that I'm going to play Last of Us, and I'm not going to see in it what everybody else is seeing. I think I'm going to really enjoy
it. No, you will. Yeah, it's almost impossible to ignore.
It looks too linear for me. Every time I see something of it, I look at the ways that the enemies are attacking, and I'm like, wow, that's awful. And I look at the level design, and I'm like, wow, that looks way too linear for me to enjoy. I know, that's just what I'm hoping to go in and get really surprised by it, but, like, I just am.
Let me just, without giving any spoilers or anything like that, you know, I actually, obviously, I don't have, well, I do, technically, my brother-in-law has a PlayStation in the house that I live at, but I watched someone play through the entire game on YouTube, a good 10, 12 hours.
You were fucking bored.
Yes, I was. I really wanted to know what happens in this game.
Remember that musical career you were supposed to have?
I wanted to know what happens in this game. It's in my off time.
12 hours of your off time.
It was over the course of a couple days. I would just remember where I stopped the video.
Abenai.
And I tell you what, man, like it's very hard to ignore the story and all the work that they put into the narrative of this game.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm going to be there for.
Now me personally, obviously, you know, the way that I was looking at it, I wasn't looking at it from a gameplay perspective. I wasn't looking at it from a graphical intense experience. I wanted to experience it for the story. This is one of those games where, you know, if I went out and bought this game as opposed to just, you know, watch someone play through it,
yeah,
I would buy this game just so that I had it in my library so I could have someone come over and be like, look, you need to sit down and at least play this game for a little bit and just tell me that it doesn't fucking, like, blow your nutsack off. Because at least just because of it, and, you know, like I said, it's not, you know, oh my god, this is such a crazy new experience gameplay-wise. It's just, the story is done so well that.
Yeah, that's what I'm there for. I just, like what you said earlier, it is a pet peeve of mine that it's like, when people go into it and say, I don't care what the gameplay is like, I'm there for the story, it's like, well then it shouldn't be a fucking video game then.
I understand where you're coming from, but certain titles, I'm okay with it. Not like, it seems like nowadays, a lot of the games, that's what it strives off of, and that's pretty much it. Yeah. However, I knew going into it that this was one of those games, but where that's what it's there
for. I think the reason...
Same thing with something like Heavy Rain. Like, Heavy Rain was one of those kind of things where it's like, you're definitely not going in for the fucking gameplay aspect.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, at times, there were... No, like, there, the scene where you're driving against the other traffic in the highway, that was all QuickTime events. Like, I like... I'm one of the few people out there that like QuickTime events.
Well,
because it makes me feel like this is actually happening to me, and like you have to make a quick decision, and
right.
if you make the wrong decision, you're dead. And I think that's interesting when it's done, you know, well, which Quantum Theory does that very, very well, that company
mm-hmm.
that makes Heavy Rain. But I've played Naughty Dog games, you know, I've played Uncharted, and I've played that series. And I look at the level design of those games, and I look at, you know, videos and screenshots for Last of Us, which a while ago I stopped watching trailers for it because I wanted to go into this game as blind as possible at this
right.
point. I watched it and I realized, like, oh, okay, so it's going to have a similar an amount of similarities between their other franchise just because, you know, that's how they make games. But, like, I think the level design is my biggest problem with Uncharted. I mean, you have these stories where, like, you're trying to stop, like, you know, a bad guy. He's going to do bad things. He's going to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Drake kills about 10,000 fucking people along the way. And I'm like, you know, and I know Last of Us explains why you're killing people and stuff like that. And it makes sense. You understand it in that aspect.
Yeah, because they're trying to kill you.
They're trying to kill you. Well, same thing in the other game, but... It's just, you know, that one's an action game, one's sort of more of a survival type of game. But the linear environments in Uncharted always drove me fucking nuts. Like, I really like how Tomb Raider did their layout of the game, how it's, you know, it's this huge open area. You have to linearly, you know, you have basically one way to get to a place, but you'll oftentimes kind of crisscross back over these places. I think that was really good game design. And I just don't like the fact that, like, because I feel like in a zombie apocalypse type of thing, I would be doing a lot of unconventional or monster apocalypse, if you want to, you know, whatever you want to call Last of Us. I would do a lot of very unconventional things. And yes, I'm going to play that game only for the story. I'm not there for gameplay. I know the gameplay is going to be okay. But, like, it's not going to deliver for me on the other aspects of what I'm looking for in that type of game.
It might. You never know till you play it.
Yeah, I'll never know till I
play
it.
I will tell you, without giving anything away, it's very episodic.
Yeah.
So it's one of those kind of things where it's like you can go in and you'll do a section, and then that section will resolve. It will continue the overlying storyline, but that section will resolve, and then you'll go to this other thing, and then this other
That's
thing
what
will
I've
happen,
been
and
expecting.
Then that will resolve, and then you kind of go through. So, I mean, like...
Well, it is a journey over a year.
So. Yeah, there are jumps, like, you know, something will happen, and then it'll be fall, and then something will happen, and then it'll be winter, and then something will happen, like, you know what I mean?
Thanks for spoiling it for me.
Well, no, because you can't sit and go through, like, if it's over the course of a year, you're not going to be like, okay, you're going to play through this entire year straight fucking through.
See, I didn't know it took place over a year. I thought it was just, I thought it was something happens, they set out on their adventure, and that's the adventure, you know?
Well, there is, I mean, like, it's...
Don't say anything more to me, or I'll stab you in the throat.
It doesn't...
Okay.
He
doesn't
want to
hear anymore.
Ship you.
Do you think this is the last great game in the generation, or do you think Grand Theft Auto can overtake it? Or something that's not even out? Assassin's Creed is coming, although that's next gen as well.
I need to know, like, what's coming out. Like, what are the last couple games that are be coming out for this last generation? I know the Deadpool game came out Tuesday. That's going to be a smaller title. That's, you know, even though I'm really excited to play it because it's probably going to be fucking outrageous.
It got a 6.0 on IGN. It's apparently funny, but the gameplay is whatever, which is exactly what I expected from that game.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
you're playing it for the lulls.
I think
in terms of massive titles and AAA titles that are exclusive to this generation. I think, yeah, The Last of Us is probably the last big one.
Yeah,
I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 could be huge, but I'm more excited about Saints Row 4
than
Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because Saints Row 4, I mean, shit, it's pretty much, I don't want to say it's a reskin or almost like a DLC pack, like a glorified DLC pack, But I mean, they didn't change their engine. They didn't change graphically.
Wait,
like
for
what? They're gonna, for Saints
Row.
Oh, yeah. No, that's understandable though, because they went through troubles.
But I kind of understand that. So I don't feel it's going to be that, because that's not really going to deliver that much. I'm going to enjoy the game, don't get me wrong, and
you know,
I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to love it. But
I'm going to say Grand Theft is going to be the last great game of the generation. I mean, if you're just going by, like, chronologically,
yeah,
it'll be the last great game of the generation, just because it's going to be the last great game to come out for the generation, probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I don't have that many high hopes for Grand Theft Auto.
Of the generation on the PS3, it'll probably be, you know, I mean, Last of Us will probably be one of the biggest titles ever, but...
Yeah.
My
hopes are not high for Grand Theft Auto. I know a lot of people are really hyped up about it. I know a lot of people are excited for it. I'm kind of excited for it because I'm hoping, you know, I'll enjoy it more than the last one. Because
mm-hmm.
The last one I didn't really care for too much.
The Last of Us.
Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah, 4.
4 comes before 5, yes.
I forget what number it's on, because there was Grand Theft Auto 3, and then it became Vice City, and then it became fucking, you know...
Well, I'll tell you what, my...
San Andreas.
Let me propose this question to you. What was your biggest gaming memory of this generation? What game do you think impacted you the most this generation?
Rock Band. And I'm not just saying
that
because Nick Chester was on.
This generation?
This generation, yeah.
Yeah.
PS3 and 360.
Damn, I can't deny Rock Band, dude.
It was such a new experience, despite Guitar Hero starting on PS2.
Because it not only that, but it started an entire fucking pop culture revolution aside from gaming.
Everybody knew
what Rock Band was. Everybody knew what, you know, what these games did. And even people that weren't into games would sit and play these. Like, if they would go over people's houses and play this game. Even people that weren't into video games in general.
What about you, Tim?
Metal Gear 4. Metal Gear 4 was my most memorable gaming experience of this generation.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to beat it, but the thing is that game takes a while to get going. And then once you get to the middle section, because Metal Gear was like a game series that's really impacted my life. Mm. Like, I had a great time playing Metal Gear Solid with a friend growing up. Metal Gear 2 was a huge deal when it came out for me. 3 kind of came and went, because I didn't care about Big Boss that much. It was all about Solid Snake. And then 4, like, I had just, like, I felt like I was fucking Solid Snake, like...
I couldn't get into
by
it.
By the end of that game.
I couldn't keep putting up with 20-minute cutscenes.
That game made me, like, tear up. There's a section near the end of the game, spoiler alert, where you have to get through a reactor to basically destroy this Patriot system that controls all the nanomachines all over the world, which... the main villain was trying to get control of so that he could control all of the world's militaries. And you have to... You're pretty much expecting Snake to die this whole series, or this whole game. And you're crawling through, like, a nuclear reactor, and your suit that you're wearing is, like, ripping apart and exploding off of you because of you're getting nuked, and you're, like, trying to crawl your way through, and you have to just mash whatever button it was to keep him crawling through this thing while you're watching him, like, die. And I'm sitting here like, oh my fucking god, like, this is horrible. And you win the day, and you just, like, it was the perfect and most amazing conclusion to any game series that was so convoluted. I did not, in my, like, wildest dreams, expect Kojima to have answers for all the shit that he set up. Like, Metal Gear 2 had made me so mad when I played it, because it just, like, you get to the end of that game and nothing makes sense. You don't know, like, what's real, what's not real. You don't know what the fuck is going on. And it was such a strange departure from Metal Gear Solid. You're just like, I don't know how I feel. But this game...
I don't know what I'm doing!
This game, like, the fourth game, redeems, like, everything. Like, it makes you understand what the fuck, like, who the Patriots are, who the La-Le-Li-Lu-Lo are, you know, what was Ocelot's plan, like, why did he fucking take another person's arm and attach it to himself, like, what the fuck is going on in this world, like, they explained every ridiculous story and plot hole, and they gave you the best fan service that any game will ever give, ever, period, done. And I will argue that with anybody.
You cannot, there's no game will ever match that level of the last few hours of that game are just like unbe-fucking-leavable. Blow your mind
I'm
up.
Just shocked you didn't say Dark Souls. Anyways, we need to start wrapping things up.
No,
so.
Hold on one sec though. Dark Souls I play a lot on the PC. So I was trying to keep away. I was trying to sit on just console exclusives. Mm. And that was a console exclusive, so.
But fuck your ass.
Okay, well, we need to figure out our third place winner for our SEO contest.
We're tied between two now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, so you know, I got a plan. I have a plan.
What? You calling someone?
Digital coin flip?
Call Kurt Knoll.
Oh!
I don't see Kurt. Oh, no. My Siri's been fucked up today. Siri, what's wrong? Come on, internet.
I found this.
Thanks, whatever. Fuck off. No, she looked up, like, the Wolfram thing for what wrong is. Call... Fucking Christ. Call Kurt Knoll.
Thank you. iPhone.
You fucking
iPhone.
Slut.
iPhone!
So I had to call Kunal.
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 Actually, in iOS 7, you're actually going to be able to change pronunciations of things, which is cool.
You can't change Kunal.
Kunal.
You need to...
Kunal. Answer your phone.
Oh, I have you, dog.
Hey, so we're doing the podcast right now, and we, for our contest we're running, we're tied between two things. And we need a tiebreaker.
Okay. Lay it on me.
What are the two?
The two, this is deciding third place.
You have to choose one of these two different names for what the SML and our SML podcast could stand for.
Either super mega lame or sexual molten lava.
The first one is super mega lame, and the second one was sexual molten lava?
Yes. Correct.
I have sat in on that podcast before, so it has to be super mega lame.
All right, there you go.
There it is.
Thank you, Kurt. Do you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners?
On our special 20th episode.
No, I have absolutely nothing to say.
Motherfuck your way.
Fuck you guys, you don't matter. Please click.
All right, bye, Kurt.
Right, peace out.
Okay, so congratulations to Tim Ecubus for Super Mega Lame being our third place winner. Congratulations to Pappy for Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
And then also
being our runner up.
Before we get to our winner, next contest.
Well, first of all, next contest is going to be by episode 25. We need a picture of a Scandinavian mastodon
wearing lingerie.
Because that was the second place, and as you heard in the earlier interview, that will be the next contest, and we'll have some wonderful prizes for that. Second thing I want to say is the N-Gage didn't work out because of unforeseen consequences. Which is a Half-Life reference.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, Half-Life 3 confirmed. 10 out of 10, savecontinue.com. So we're going to...
11 out of 10?
Yeah, 11 out of 10.
11 out of 10.
We're going to up the GameStop gift card in response. It's now no longer a $50 gift card. It is now a $100 gift card. So you can buy Dark Souls with it.
You probably didn't even give a shit about the N-Gage to begin with.
Yeah.
So now I got better.
Yeah.
It's okay. If you would have taken that N-Gage and traded into GameStop, they probably only would have given you about
$10. They don't take N-Gages.
You ridiculous, ridiculous man.
Fucking idiot. Fine. Anyway, the grand,
trying to make a fucking joke.
The grand prize winner of
Dark Souls.
SML.
It's Dark Souls.
The SML name contest was me. No.
fuck your ass.
Keeping all that shit. It's no surprise. This one has been the front runner for so long. And congratulations to Chris Taylor for naming us the Someone Might Listen podcast. So I believe from now on, we are not going to introduce ourselves as small, medium, and large.
No. Nope.
We're just going to be Tim, Chris, and Joe Cam welcoming you to the SML podcast.
we don't want to keep it that negative all the time. So,
I don't think we should just call it the Someone Might Listen podcast. I think it should be the Someone Might Listen podcast. We should have a question mark.
Someone might listen.
Someone might listen.
It's a, you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Solomon. Someone.
Is that like bagels?
Emphasis on the wrong syllable.
All right, and yeah, that's pretty much it. What song we got to lead us out?
Well, in talking with Nick about the podcast, I asked him if he had any kind of preference on our featured artist this week, and given that he was a Destructoid guy and who the current Destructoid editor-in-chief is, we are going to dedicate this week to Dale North.
Aww.
Dale fucking North. And Nick's special request was he wanted Dale's cover of the Tenetta song, Mmm Mama.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good. I'm ready.
Listener guidance advised, because this will probably fuck your brain. But Dale North covering Tenetta.
Sweet. I'm excited.
Do you know who Tenetta is?
Yeah.
You know Tenetta? Do you know Tenetta?
I know Tech Nine.
We're gonna have to watch some Tenetta after this.
We'll have to show.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Yeah.
Dicks. Yeah, congratulations for the prize.
You're gonna get a bunch box of boxes.
Dick. Fleshlight.
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 No. Maybe.
Fleshlight. Episode 25. Grand prize.
Loving it. Baby, high.